Nancy? Nancy?
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. You may be seated. This morning, I'd like us to take a closer look at the Psalms that we read earlier. Most Bible scholars agree that Psalm 42 and 43 were originally written together as one psalm, which is why we read them as a unit. And a big clue to this is the repetition of the words found in Psalm 42, verse 5. It says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." These words are repeated two other times and in both psalms, and they bind the two psalms together. Now, there are different types of psalms. Some are hymns of praise. Some are songs of thanksgiving. Psalm 42 and 43 are classified as laments. In the Bible, a lament is a prayer expressing deep sorrow, pain, or confusion sung by those who are in distress. Now, Psalm 42 seems to start on a positive note. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. No doubt you recognize those words as part of a familiar worship song, which we sing in adoration of the Lord. But I have a feeling the psalmist sang them out of desperation. Rather than picture an idyllic scene of a deer enjoying a pleasant drink, I think we are meant to see a deer on the verge of collapse, desperate for some water, exhausted from running for its life. I think that's how the psalmist felt when he wrote these psalms. He was desperate. We may not understand all the reasons behind his desperation, but his words paint a picture of deep personal trouble. As we read in verse 3, "My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" The psalmist felt overwhelmed by his problems. And he was hurt by people taunting him, asking him, "Why isn't God helping him?" I think the psalmist wondered the same thing. Why isn't God doing something? He felt abandoned by God. As we read in verse 9, "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?" The psalmist described himself as feeling downcast. Today, we would use the more contemporary word, depressed. The Old Testament lesson we read this morning about the prophet Elijah fits in very well with the theme of depression. That's one of the things I like about Scripture. It doesn't sugarcoat things. Elijah was a great prophet, but he too had his struggles, just like the writer of Psalm 42 and 43. The Old Testament lesson gives us a beautiful picture of God's tender care for his prophet, how he provided food and rest to help restore Elijah. In the Psalms, we get to see things more from the human side, of how the psalmist dealt with his depressed emotions. The first thing we can see is that he talked to God about it. He poured out his soul to God. He didn't hold back either. He accused God of forgetting and rejecting him. But he also reminded himself of better times when he had experienced God's presence and blessings. As we read in verse 4, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul. how I used to go to the house of God, under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. In verse 8, he acknowledges that God still loves him. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. During his sleepless nights, the psalmist turned to God in prayer. I think that's a lot better than just tossing and turning or counting sheep. But what did he pray? For one thing, he asked God to deliver him from his enemies. But I especially like Psalm 43, verse 3, where he prayed, "Send your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell." He wanted more than just deliverance from his problems. He wanted God to draw him closer to himself. I'd like to point out also that the psalmist talked to himself. We see this clearly in the refrain he repeated. He's talking to himself when he says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." So rather than give in to his despair, the psalmist told himself to pin his hope on God. Now, the word "yet" in Hebrew can also be translated as "still." So we could read this as saying, "I will still praise him, my Savior and my God." "Yet" makes it sound like it's future. Sometime I will get back to that. But he could be that "I will still praise him, my Savior and my God." So though the psalmist felt emotionally depressed, he exhorted himself to hope in God and to keep on praising him. I'm sure it comes as no surprise to any of us that depression is a major health issue in our society. No doubt, we can all think of people who struggle with depression, maybe in our family, among our friends, maybe even ourselves. Christians are not exempt from struggles with depression. We know that Paul, our former rector, was very open about his struggles with depression. Christians struggle because, after all, we are only human. Things like the death of a loved one, scary medical diagnosis, job loss, marriage problems, traumatic event, deep disappointments. There are lots of things that can trigger emotional distress in us. And then on top of that, we live in a time when there's a lot to be depressed about. Wars and rumors of wars and financial crises. I remember a few years ago when I was in a seminar on self-care, and the doctor listed the symptoms of clinical depression. And I realized that there were several times in my life when I had had almost all of those symptoms. I've never been diagnosed with clinical depression, but I think that's probably because I never sought help at the time. I'm grateful to God for the ways that he helped me cope. Sometimes through arranging for a timely vacation, or providing a friend with a listening ear, or through the many people who prayed for me faithfully, even when they didn't know the details. And of course, the Lord helped me through the words of Scripture and the work of his Spirit in my life. However, if I had a do-over of some of those times in my life, I would definitely seek professional help. And I encourage anyone struggling with serious symptoms of depression to seek medical help. At the same time, as Christians, we would do well to follow the example of the psalmist. When we begin to feel dark clouds overcoming us, we should run to God and pour out our souls to Him. God is not offended by our honest and raw emotions. We can look at Job as an example of someone who argued his case with God. Better for us to do that than to utter pious words of faith that don't begin to express our pain. And better to let our struggles crowd us closer to Jesus than to allow them to come between us and the Lord. So the first thing we should do is to run to God. And then, like the psalmist, we should remind ourselves of all the ways that we have experienced God's presence and blessings in the past. It will help us trust Him for our present struggle. And of course, like the psalmist, we should pray for God to help us, to send us light, to lead us out of the darkness of depression and into a deeper awareness of His presence. We should also follow the psalmist's example and talk to ourselves. It is so easy to listen to all the negative things people say, or the negative things we say to ourselves. But that will just drag us down even more. We need to learn to speak truth to ourselves. I have found that a good way to do that is to memorize or meditate on scripture verses that remind me of who God is. He is a God who sees us. He loves us. He hears our cries. Even if and when we feel He has abandoned us, we need to cling to the truth that Jesus promised never to leave us. He is with us forever, in the good times and the bad. If we pick some verses that speak of God's love and faithfulness, then when we can't sleep at night, we can replace our anxious thoughts with the words of Scripture. Finally, we should read the Bible. Of course, we should make a daily habit of reading the Bible. But especially when we're struggling, we need to allow God to minister to us through His Word. The lectionary gives us daily readings of Scripture, or we can use some other systematic Bible reading program. I usually recommend people make a habit of reading through the Gospels. After all, what better way to grow in our knowledge and love of God than to immerse ourselves in the story of His Son Jesus? As I said earlier, Christians are not exempt from struggles with depression, but neither are Christians without help or hope, because we have God not just on our side, but living within us by His Spirit. Like the psalmist, we need to declare that our hope is in God, not in ourselves, not in what others may be able to do to help us, not even in medication, though that may be necessary. No, our ultimate hope is in God. And hope is a powerful motivator. People who have hope are much more resilient. We can hang on in the tough times if we have hope that things will get better. And for Christians, our hope is not just for things to get better in this life. We have the sure hope of a better future for all eternity. Following the example of the psalmist is good for any situation in our life, big or small. But it's especially important when we're struggling with depression or fear or anxiety. We need to run to God, pour out our souls to Him, ask Him to shine His light into our darkness and to rekindle our hope in Him. Amen.
Thanks, Nancy. We'll now have our offertory.